Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 9th of January. And we've been in this month for 9 days, and so far, no good.
One good day. There was one good day. But I think you, in a weird way, had to expect something with all the excess that went on during the last couple of months of 2000. So, yeah, it's going to be cold. Anyway, look, the interesting thing is that we had a lot to talk about in 2000. Well, we have a lot to talk about all the time, but 2023 was a big year, just all sorts of things that went on that were, I mean, I don't know. I thought strange. Defying logic. You know, the economy.
Yeah, well, this has been a theme of yours for the last 5 years.
That's correct. I'll continue.
Well, actually, even longer than that. It began with quantitative easing when it just screwed up everything to an extreme and ruined the business for a lot of money managers.
Yeah. And what's interesting is it takes the economics 101 and trashes it entirely, because what is supposed to happen in an increasing interest rate environment and recession and inverted yield curve and a recession and all that is just covered up with just, you know, backhanded deals and money coming from different areas and stimulus programs from the Fed and stimulus programs from the government and no care in the world about the debt. We went in the last, I don't know, 10 years from caring about how much debt we hold as a country to, who cares? Doesn't matter.
I know. That's going to come back to bite someone.
Yeah. But with that and all, what we did see in 2023 was a lot of discussion about all these layoffs and all these cuts. In the beginning of the year, particularly, we saw all this tech and through 2022 and into the beginning of 2023, the technology companies, they were like, we're cutting off. We're cutting. And what happened? Every time we saw like a 5,000 or 10,000 employee cut, stocks went right up.
Yep.
And we saw the lowest unemployment rate since, dare I say, it was 1969. That unbelievable.
Yeah.
What we saw the last couple of years. And that emboldened
the official numbers.
Well, not the shadow stats numbers. But we have a lot of little things to talk about. And by the way, these are things that we spend time looking at, and we don't just take this lightly, of course. And that's why we ask all of you to chip in, donate to the cause. You can go over to DH Unplugged and DHUnplugged.com, that is, and donate.
Wouldn't
by the
hurt.
Way, another little quick plug, make sure we get it in here. If you're not listening, you really need to. You need to listen every Thursday and Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern. And you need to listen to John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry on No Agenda, because it is quite the entertaining and I would say mind-expanding experience for 3 hours.
I like it. Mind-expanding.
Mind-expanding it is. Anyway, let's get to these clips. Ryan Radisky, again, thank you so much for putting these together each and every year. We thank you. We honor you. We respect you. And say all good things about you. If you need a resume,
yeah, if you need
helper,
a letter of recommendation, we're here.
We're here. All right, let's get right to it. Wells Fargo is also shuttering its correspondent business that buys loans made by third-party lenders and significantly shrinking its mortgage service portfolio through asset sales. And the shift is going to result in a fresh round of layoffs of the bank's mortgage operations. This was out today. This is out after the close today. Interesting timing with the fact that they have earnings on Friday. Seems to me that they're setting the stage for, hey, yeah, earnings are really bad, but look what we're doing. We have all these things.
That's what it sounds like to me, too.
Don't look now, but there's something funny going on over there at the bank, George.
All right, Salesforce, big cuts in workforce. We could start calling it Fire Force at this point, because they've had a first cut of 10% of its employees, about 7,000 initially. Then a day later comes and some more discussion about cost cutting. Then another discussion the day later about more firings. So Benioff sends an email to the employees. A little snippet said, I've been thinking a lot about how we came to this moment. You know, this is the CEO being real.
Thoughtful,
you know?
CEO.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
The thoughtful, yes. Philosophical CEO.
It pains me to write this, you know, that kind of thing. Right? It's like, you know,
It hurt me more than it hurts you.
I sat here hours thinking about what I was going to say. And if I could do it to myself, I would, but I just can't. So he says, I've been thinking about how we came to this moment. As our revenue accelerated through the pandemic, we hired too many people leading. So that was like, oh, we hired too many people. And thank you. You know, you should thank us for hiring you into this economic downturn we're now facing. And I take responsibility for that. Within the next hour, big notice he's giving here, right? 1 hour. Just to let you know. 1 hour. Employees who are initially affected by this decision, which probably thought that 1 hour was the longest hour for people for a long time, who was affected by this decision will receive an email letting them know. Or not even a call. Get an email. The old days, at least they sat you down. Hey, do me a favor, John. After work, can you come into my office? You know what I'm saying? Now it's like, you know.
That's the old way of doing it.
Yeah, now it's like you get a.
No. Hey, John, wait and see if you get an email in an hour.
Yeah, if you get in there, just hang on. Let's see if you're still here. Now they got probably a Deadpool going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So they said our leadership will reach out directly to these employees, probably through a merged email. Yeah, merged email through Salesforce, and provide clarity for their teams about changes with their organizations. I'm sure there was something else like, please make sure to look, because in an hour and 30 minutes, anyone who's fired will be permanently taken off the systems and all your technology will be dead. That's terrible.
Well, they give you an hour to clear out. It's an hour, good at 1 hour to back up everything you've got onto the cloud.
Yep. Steal whatever you can.
Grab the mailing lists.
Grab the mailing list. The old days, you grab the trash cans if you could, and a stapler. And you're out the door with your box with two pictures and whatever else you had in your drawer, pack of cigarettes.
People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle.
We got big firings, layoffs, staff reductions, which is now, by the way, the new good news. And I've seen this movie before. This is textbook into a slowing down of economic activity where those that are looking for a silver lining with anything, any kind of anything that would maybe even remotely resemble a silver lining, they're looking for something and they're finding it now in the fact that, oh, wow, you know, companies are really come to their senses. And what they're going to do is they're going to really watch their bottom lines. And, you know, finally, all this rampant spending that was going on over the years, so they rationalize this whole idea that all these layoffs are really companies coming into economic and fiscal restraint.
Are you running a business or a charity ward?
Well,
not with my money.
We have a green light for firing Wayfair. Recent news of layoffs and already negative profits, losses. If you look at the financials on this company, they're miserable. That's at best. Miserable at best.
Just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I will pay 50 cents on the dollar.
Unemployment down to 3.4%. The lowest unemployment since 1969. And yes.
Well, these are dubious numbers.
But what how could you even possibly get, even with seasonal adjustments and some kind of, you know, these crazy numbers that they put out for seasons and these annual and decennial, what is it, 10 years, decennial adjustments. How can you still come up with 500,000? And how do you get labor, the participation rate going up, which is good? And how do you have all this stuff happening? It seems almost unbelievable when at the same time you have anecdotal evidence of homeless people in El Cerrito. You have all the things that are happening with company after company talking about layoffs. Like something's weird.
Well, they broke something.
Even Zoom today laid off some people, cut salaries up 10%. DocuSign's nice. Flying. And by the way, that's some of the other keywords. Keywords are cutting staff, cutting CapEx expenditures, But if you take, John, if you take all this in totality, if you take that in totality, what does it say about the economy? You got layoffs, which is not reflected in the unemployment numbers. You have spending cuts. Doesn't that portend for a concerning economic situation?
Yeah, you got people without jobs, and so they're not going to be spending, so that's going to jack things up. And then the cuts, which means they're not spending, which is going to jack things up. Yeah, I know, but meanwhile, you got more. Yeah, that jobs number has got to be something wrong with it.
Yep.
I'm an expert. I don't know what these numbers just told you.
Numbers don't lie.
They lie all the time.
You know, while earnings are down 23% year over year, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Now, that light may actually be a freight train coming right at you. But what is happening is that the excitement around companies getting creative and maybe, in fact, getting a sense of religion in terms of financial and fiscal responsibility, which the government doesn't have, but companies are, because they have spending cuts that are happening, CapEx cuts that are happening, layoffs, all sorts of things that are going on. And that is going to cut substantial amounts of cost from the companies. That's why the markets are rewarding these companies instead of saying, like, oh, my God, look at all these layoffs. That's going to be a big problem. But the big cycle will become a problem long term.
Yeah, it has to.
It has to.
But short term, yeah, I think laying off. We've seen this before where they start doing all these layoffs and the company price goes up.
Yeah, we saw this in 2007, 2008, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's time I was fetching about that back then. That.
Yeah. And up it goes.
And up it goes. So here's a couple of things, updates. So Yahoo plans to lay off more than 20% of its total 8,600 workforce as part of a major restructuring.
Other companies are cutting back on CapEx and other expansion plans. So you have things like a lot of, I think the number today I heard was like 60% occupancy rate in the commercial.
I'm so jammed up still from the coffee this morning, or
yeah, the coffee's getting to you.
Something's not right because I'm jumping around our notes pretty well here. So the housing market. So that's kind of interesting. Now, with that, we're going to slide up a little bit if I can find where I was. Here's the layoffs we talked about, like financial industries cutting. There's a tech layoffs, a really interesting site. So you can see this is you see that chart there that I put in there? In the middle?
Tech layoffs, yeah.
A little small, but you can get the hint here.
It's okay. It's readable.
Point is that you could see that the bottom chart in particular, talking about employees laid off and companies with layoffs, right? So there's two different bars on the chart. The red is the employees being laid off on the left-hand side axis. The companies with layoffs on the right-hand side axis. But what's really fascinating here is this is since COVID. Look at the big uptick for like a couple of months maybe there in total. In the beginning of COVID era, but just no layoffs at all. Nothing. Nobody's firing anybody until basically about the second quarter of 2022. And now there's a consistent.
Yeah, why didn't they do the layoffs during COVID?
Nobody got fired because everybody's getting paid to be there. You didn't fire anybody. You wouldn't get your PPP and all that stuff.
Are you running a business or a charity war?
With my money.
More layoffs are coming. We saw some new news today about McDonald's. We'll talk about Apple. Actually, I saw a little tidbit, something like it was a very quiet, small little. You remember the classified ads and the ads in magazines? You had these really big areas of ads, and then they got smaller and smaller and smaller. And you had to, like, if you wanted to get a job, you had to look. You had to really focus in on the small little boxes in the classifieds. Remember that?
Vaguely.
The Apple announcement was like the small box. We're thinking about maybe a few people were going to lay off quietly in the background because, God forbid, Apple lays anybody off.
Well, God forbid they start closing stores.
Yeah, exactly. What will those people with blue shirts do?
You know, if they start closing stores, I wonder if they're going to pull the same stunt and kind of keep it quiet.
You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter.
McDonald's, by the way, is shutting down its office temporarily. This is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. It's shutting down its offices temporarily as the company reportedly prepares for mass staff layoffs. I thought McDonald's was doing just fine. What the hell? What's going on all of a sudden with McDonald's?
I thought they were doing fine, too.
Yep. Corporate employees were instructed to cancel meetings in its headquarters. The company sent a memo that the layoffs are intended to make McDonald's more efficient. We have a clear opportunity ahead of us to get faster and more efficient at solving problems for our customers and people and to globally scale our business. All these stories that I'm starting to see, the same similar things about them getting, you know, cutting to the bone, tells me that earnings are going to be real shit in the next few weeks.
And I will pay 50 cents on the dollar.
Retail confidence. U.S. retailers will hire the lowest number of seasonal workers for this holiday season since 2008. You know, they love putting in those dates. Those dates are their markers, right? They're triggers.
It's the Obama number.
Yeah. This is due to increased labor costs and shaky consumer confidence, according to a report by Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. This company has the annual job of figuring out how many people are being hired or the JOLTS reports and things like that. That's all they do. This is what we pay people for. Challenger, Gray, and Christmas. And the name itself is a bizarre name, I think, for a company.
They have too many people working for them.
Yeah, so
they should do a layoff. Hey, I like the way they have the low unemployment with the housing, house homeless crisis, the unhoused, the lining the streets of it, and all the migrants coming in. This number is not good. It's a bullcrap number, but we'll leave it at that.
Wait, hold on a second. Is there something called the unhoused now?
Yeah, well, a lot of people use the term. It hasn't caught on, but it's used, and we have lots of clips of it. Unhoused.
What does that mean versus homeless? Or is that just?
It's the same exact thing. It's just nicer.
Oh yes, it's the unbanked and unhoused, and the unfed.
Yeah, the unbanked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the other things we talk about besides shoes quite often, you and I, is the topic of food. We talk about.
Yeah, because you're like a crazy cook.
I do a few
things. Mad chef.
Yep, I do competitions here and there. Nothing too serious, right? I think, by the way, if I may, I think if you put me in a Chopped kitchen, I'd fall to pieces.
A what kitchen?
Chopped. You know the show Chopped?
Oh, Chopped?
Yeah, where they throw out four different weird ingredients and like you have 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, very few. That takes a different kind of skill than normal cooking.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. But we talked about, you know, things like.
If you were in a professional kitchen.
Yeah, I could do that.
You would be dead.
Why?
Because you would. It's too much work.
You're saying that.
And you don't get the feedback. You the only reason you cook so much, you cook for these big groups there so everyone can compliment you.
Oh, that's it. You've caught on.
And
oh,
if
that Horowitz. Oh, my God.
A guy in the back, you're not the chef that comes out in the audience and says, hey, I'm the chef. You say hi to me. And that you're still back in the back doing all the hard work. You know, no, you're not doing that.
No. You need somebody to clean up after me. But we had that discussion. You know what else we had this year about food? We had the unbelievable unveiling in 2023 of a fabulous new recipe book. Did we not?
TooManyEggs.com. The Mimi Smith Dvorak did this unbelievably huge book, 800-page recipes and stories, mostly stories, of how these various egg dishes came about, and it is a killer.
Yeah, it's a great book. I have it. I thumb through it all the time to see. I'm just amazed at how many anecdotal stories of recipes that she has in there. It's unbelievable.
It's beyond it. It's unbelievable, yeah. TooManyEggs.com for anyone who wants a copy.
So let's
get a free copy usually on...
You can get free copies. You can.
Yeah.
But you should buy the book. Anyway, let's get into the discussion and find out some of the secret recipes and things that we were talking about 2023, all about cooking. A hell of a party this weekend.
Yeah.
It was Asian-inspired. Wow. I'll just say one thing. Started with the drinks. The drinks were a soju... lychee martini. That was number one. The second drink was a Japanese single barrel whiskey. It was called I don't remember the name. It was a Manhattan.
There's a bunch of really smoke. They win a lot of international awards, those whiskeys. So good.
But the dinner was outrageous. Have you ever eaten bugs?
No, I'm not a bug eater. My daughter does.
I've had bugs. Yeah, I've eaten termites right from the mound in Costa Rica. In certain parts of China, they have jars full of hot, spicy ants.
Yeah, I've seen these things.
I've had like this pulpa thing, which, by the way,
well,
is disgusting.
I've accidentally eaten ants.
Well, but you haven't purposely. Like, I went out and I bought a bag of
ants. I haven't gone and had a meal of ants or grubs.
Yummy.
So I made a batch of vegetarian chili just because. Don't ask me why. And then there was so much pushback, I had to make a whole nother batch of meat chili.
Yeah, of course.
So I got about a gallon and a half of meat chili. I got the other chili. I got pulled pork I made already. I got to get hamburgers, hot dogs. I made my very tasty sea salt molasses chip cookies. Those are good. You like molasses cookies?
Yeah, I do.
So that's good. And now I'm going to, we have like.
Send one to me.
Oh, okay. I'll do that. And then we have, I had to start assigning people. I'm like, I can't do all this. So we're making meatballs.
Oh, if you're just going to do chili and dogs.
No. I made meatballs. We're doing meatball parm hoagies. I was going to do.
Nobody wants all this other stuff.
No, they just want the hamburgers, hot dogs, and chili?
Yeah, hot dogs, I think, you know, if you got a big grill, you can cook up a million hot dogs. That'd be dynamite.
The meat, very important.
Blue eggs?
Yeah.
What is that? I don't even heard of that.
Oh, this is interesting. I finally got a little gourmet thing going on here with you that you don't know about.
Blue eggs? No, I know nothing about this. I'm looking this up as you speak. Really? That's seriously? Funny.
There's a dark brown egg. There's a mottled egg. There's a brown egg. There's a white egg. There's a blue egg. There's a light brown egg. There's a bunch of different colors. It depends on the chicken breed.
So blue eggs are blue inside and out. Wow. What do you mean?
A shell.
Oh. I was so excited.
The egg looks like a regular old egg.
You are a bundle of egg information.
That's because of the book, TooManyEggs.com. You can get a free copy.
Then I went and I did all those other things I'm mentioning. Soft pretzels, cooked dinner, roasted two turkeys two turkey breasts in the smoker.
It's yesterday, right?
It's all yesterday. Pickled jalapenos, bread and butter pickles. Yeah.
You had a bunch of people over?
No, everything is now in the fridge for a chili competition that I'm going into in a few weeks.
Oh, you're going to do a chili competition?
Yes. We're going to enter my second place chili again. I had the best presentation last year. That's all there is to it. And the best chili.
A lot of it. Yeah. And the kind of chili competitions I've seen down there are very presentation oriented. Mm-hmm. Same with barbecue.
Yep. That's why I made the pretzels. I was going to make a pretzel bowl and put the chili in there.
Oh, yeah. Homemade. Yep. And after, you got the right idea. You should be able to win this thing.
And after yesterday's experience with the pretzels, I'm not doing it. That's a lot. Got to get everything just right on the pretzels.
Mix, but don't over-mix.
You know, you've smoked briskets before, right? And what happens? 3-4 hours in, you know, you get the temperature up. You're maybe at 200 degrees, your smoker or so, give or take. And it's at 130, 140 degrees. 5 hours goes, you're 150 degrees. 6 hours, you're still like 150 degrees, 155. You can't get it over the top. You're like freaking out that, why is this thing not getting hot? What do I have to do? I'm going to crank the heat up. Worst thing you could do.
Then you're doomed. Your brisket's going to be a shoe leather.
The thing that is happening is it's called, everybody knows this, right? That even I have this in my head as I'm cooking the brisket too. It's called the stall. It just, for whatever reason, it gets to a certain temperature, and for another hour and a half, 2 hours, it just stays there. And then it breaks, and then it starts cooking. And right after that stall is when you kind of wrap it, or right at that stall, into the stall, you wrap it, and then you in either paper or aluminum foil, and you cook it for the rest of the time that way, and you're in great shape. You know, you get to that point. You risk overcooking or undercooking. You're lifting the lid. You're constantly looking at stuff. People are every single day back and forth. You know, it's crazy.
What did you learn to cook?
There was a really good recipe for a curry fried chicken with a brining process that was kind of neat with a broken rice. I didn't realize actually the use of broken rice, how you can use that to make a sort of a polenta, sort of a cross between a polenta and maybe even a risotto. That was kind of interesting to learn that. We learned how to make, what else did we make there? We made, an octopus. And that was kind of interesting. Cooking an octopus with black beans, black eyed peas and a really cool black eyed pea salad. That was interesting, how to properly char it and ice it down and then dunk it and all that. Did some interesting wine tastings, nothing tremendous there. But the food on the boat was outrageous, just outrageous. 40-ounce tomahawk, 30-ounce Angus porterhouse. It was unbelievable.
I'm sure the quality was good.
It was really good, really good.
The meat, very important.
Chili cook-off?
Oh, you won. You won the chili. This was in the New York Times. You won the chili cook-off.
First place in the chili cook-off, and that secret ingredient really worked out well.
Which was?
The 100% pure cocoa from the mountains of Panama, which was interesting.
Yeah, cocoa and beef. Yeah, yeah.
So what's interesting about that is if you were to taste that, just it's after it's still a little bit moist to a degree, but it makes like a block. You know, it's not like powdery. It's a block. So I cut off pieces off of that. And I'm like, well, I gotta sweeten this up. I got to make it more chocolatey because cocoa is bitter. So I added some cream honey, which is like a cream part of the, when they make honey, you don't clarify it. And a little bit of butter, melted in a pan. And
Well, some honey's naturally cream.
So there you go. And it was just the right, I just didn't have any knowledge of what I was doing before I did it, but I just did it.
Oh, so you're ad-libbing it.
Yeah, I was ad-libbing that because I didn't know what the hell to do with it.
Well, that's what you can do if you know how to cook.
Yeah, came out great. I mean, there's some things that you need to
tweak.
Yeah, because, you know, if I say put in cocoa, okay, right? You know, what kind of cocoa?
What kind of cocoa? It could taste gosh awful.
Right. So I don't know what you're doing this weekend, but this weekend's a big party at my house, a crawfish boil and barbecue. Cajun, Bayou, New Orleans, Louisiana crawfish. And then
so you got a big giant, I don't know, where'd you get the big giant thing that you have to use, you have to cook outside, filled with crawfish, boiled.
Yeah.
And then you're going to dump them onto a table
of
newspapers.
Well, I use plastic, but yeah. The thought of putting on newspaper, when I know when I rub it off, I get the ink on my fingers, and then I put the crawfish down, I put the crawfish in my mouth. I'm not interested in that. So we got
you dump the crawfish out onto the, in your case, plastic.
Yeah.
Which is probably more toxic than the ink used in the newspaper. but I'll let that slide. And then, so there's a big pile of this, and there's corn on the cob.
Yep.
So there's a lot of corn all over with the crawfish. And then you got hot sauce of some sort.
Well, it's cooked in a hot sauce. And then there's going to be large mushrooms that absorb all the flavor. And we have full garlic cloves where you just shove them in your mouth and eat them. We have andouille sausage. Oranges, lemons, limes, a variety of other vegetables in there as well. And you just stand around the table, eat, suck the...
Is there going to be at least a side of Crystal or one of these milder Louisiana
We don't usually serve it. It's hot. Sauces? It's pretty hot. It's pretty hot.
So if somebody wants just mild crawfish, they can't have it.
They shouldn't come to my house.
This is a good tip.
I hand-press all my bone burgers.
As opposed to what?
Buying them already shaped.
Nobody does that.
They're so much better. Get them nice and, you know, thick and round, just like I like them. Doesn't take that long. It takes a half hour to make a bunch.
No, I'm saying nobody buys the pre-designed ones.
Well, I also use a hamburger press.
Oh.
Yep. That's the kind of guy I am. For my friends, only for my friends. And we made Chicago-style dogs. You know, Chicago dogs. The only thing I didn't have that didn't make it fully authentic was the poppy seed buns.
What about the sport peppers?
Had them, yes.
Cucumber?
I use pickles. Homemade pickles.
Yeah, you know, you can go, if you go to the airport and you get the Chicago loaded, you end up with the sport pecker. The sport pepper.
Mm-hmm.
The pickle and a cucumber slice.
Oh, and tomato.
And tomato.
Right, right. And then
green relish. You have to have a special, specific green, like a horrible looking relish.
It's like fluorescent green. And then you hit it all with like a celery salt.
Right.
Relax, you're making a burger.
This, you want to know what I'm making?
Yeah, well, you're going to tell us.
Yeah, I'm making a hack chicken bao bun. So I used a shredded chicken that I made. We heat up the bao buns. I bring on the boat my Chinese bamboo steamers. Bao buns. I got 150 bao buns. So we're going to start steaming those. Then I got chicken.
Did you make your own bao?
No, that I'm not doing. That's not happening. It's not happening. It's too much work. Everything I did already is too much work.
Yeah, well, it's too much work to enter the contest, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, so bao bun. So I took the chicken and I got this 18,
what are they gonna be?
18 ingredient or so sesame paste. You know, like a sesame paste.
Yeah, you have to have a nice tasty paste with the chicken.
Fermented tofu, soybeans, and dark soy sauce, light soy sauce, black vinegar.
Have you done this before?
I've done this sauce. I know the recipe very well because I've done it on cold noodles, sesame noodles. So that's all made already. A little bit thick. I got to water it down. Then on top of that, I did a pickled daikon and carrot juliennes. On top of that, crunchy garlic, and then finish off with a little scallion.
What's the crunchy garlic? Fried?
It's fried garlic, yeah. Crunchy. Comes in a bottle, actually, at the Chinese place. Really good.
A bottle of dried garlic?
Yeah, it's great. Huh. Then for the drink, pina colada jello shots in syringes.
You have to syringe it into your mouth?
Yep. I got 150 syringes all filled and done already.
So they're already filled. How big is the needle? It's got to be pretty big.
Well, it's all plastic. It's all plastic.
Not really. It's just a plastic thing.
Yeah.
And you squirt it.
Yeah, squirt it right in your mouth. Yep.
And you there's some way of checking to make sure it's actually what you're squirting. Is it from this thing?
Well, it's just everybody gets their own syringe or the old plastic thing.
Okay. Do you get to take the syringe home? Does it got you have it print? Home. You have printing on the syringe.
I was gonna do that, but I was afraid everybody's just gonna throw them all over the docks, and I was gonna get in trouble for it.
Oh, then you're getting in trouble. Yeah, good thinking.
So anyway,
you went down to a big food competition. How'd you do?
I came in second in the drink.
And what?
Yeah. Second in drink and second in the appetizer. And one of
second
the
second in both.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked my...
You had that drink that was like some sort of unbeatable drink.
It was very good. We went through about 150 of those. That was a pina colada jello shot in a syringe.
Right.
Yeah, people love that. The one that won... Well, you want to hear the one that won? Which was very, very well deserving. It was a fresh mango. He brought a slew of fresh mangoes. And it was on the dock making mango margaritas in a gas-powered blender. He converted a weed whacker engine into a blender.
Well, that's pretty spectacular, but yeah. What's it got to do with the taste of the drink?
It was good. It was delicious. Fresh mango margaritas, really good. I enjoyed it. And then the my appetizer came in second. It was the bao bun with the chicken and all the fresh pickled.
Yeah, well, what came in first?
What came in first, funny story, was a Thai noodle salad cold. They came in a Chinese to-go box with chopsticks. You know, a nice flavored thing. Good friend of mine. Actually, that's what I was going to make until I asked her a few weeks before, about a month before. I said, what are you making for the appetizer competition? And she tells me, I'm like, what? That is, I'm telling you exactly what I was going to make. Because I needed to be easy. I was running this whole program for the weekend for 150 people. So I couldn't like go crazy with cooking, you know, with making
it all
hot.
She steal it from you?
No. I never say anything about it at all. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to make something different. It was very weird. All right. This weekend, I'm having some people over. You know what I'm going to do? I'm doing a poke bar.
Oh, God, I would never eat pokey.
I don't like pokey myself, but they do. I'm going to make it for them. So it's going to have, like, you know, bowls of tuna.
It's like an amateur hour for sashimi.
Yeah, correct. That's what it is. So I'm going to make bowls.
I mean, I'm sure you're going to be careful, but I just do not trust people making pokey.
Well, I'll be careful with it.
I don't like the French. I don't like French chefs making raw fish dishes. I will only take this from a Japanese sushi chef who I know understand the issue with the horrible things that could be in raw fish.
I mean, I've been to events where they're all excited. They put out, they're like these cooking events, right? These chef tastings, And the guy puts out like a crudo of, let's call it fluke or some fish, right?
Yeah. Thinking,
what kind of, what are you telling me about just slicing fish and putting on a plate? Like, how is that exciting?
No need for a salad.
Yep.
Then I have a dinner party at my house on Saturday evening. I got 16 people in total. I got a poke bar that I made, a make-your-own poke bar with like 16 different toppings. And I got a whole two Chateaubriands I'm going to do and all this stuff. Power goes out at 5 p.m.
Ah, oh, sweet.
People are coming over at 6:30. I'm in a panic. Panic, I tell you. But it all worked out pretty well.
Did you get, you should get, you know what, your investment advice, you should have taken it.
Correct. You're exactly right. Generac.
What are we talking about? We're talking about the Generac.
Generator. Do you make goat a lot?
No, I don't. I would make it more. There is a couple of halal places around here where I can get goat. Have you ever cooked it?
No, I've never. I've had it before in, I think it was Morocco. And you only eat the female, not the male. Or maybe the male, not the female. One of the two.
I don't know about that, but I can tell you this. It's like the mildest version of lamb imaginable. Wow. And if you do it, like you get leg of goat, it's absolutely a stunner. It is so good. No wonder it's one of the most popular meats in the world. For some reason, Americans don't eat it. And I'm not absolutely sure why.
It's all the perception. I think people could see a goat in their mind. They don't want to eat it.
I think they also think it stinks as a meat.
It does. It does have a little bit of a
no. Rare. You can, that can be, I suppose if it's an old goat, yeah, maybe.
I think the word,
generally speaking, it's mild and tasty.
I think that the thing is that when you serve a fish to Americans, God forbid you have the head on, they'd freak out. And yeah, as long as they don't know what it is, like, where's this hamburger coming from? I don't know. It's a hamburger. It's a hamburger.
Same thing if you buy a barbecued duck from a Chinese.
Yeah, you get the beak and all that.
And they got the head on there, the duck head.
But I think when you say lamb chops, people are like, I don't exactly know what a lamb is. It's a little something. And they don't feel bad about it. We've homogenized, we've sterilized the names. But goat, somehow they're like, see this billy goat with the big, you know, the big beard on it, and they just can't deal with it.
Yeah, I think it's been purposeful too, because there's not, you don't get your, a lamb or a sheep, you can really fatten them up. You can get a lot of meat off of one of those things. You can't really, there's not a lot of meat on a goat.
Yeah.
The meat, very important.
We caught in the last 2 days, we put 1,000 pounds of tuna on the boat.
Send some to some of your friends.
Well,
you know how to freeze meat.
Yeah, but it's not easy to get out of Guatemala. We brought back about 50, 60 pounds with us because you have to.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Stop everything.
Stop.
Wait a minute. You caught 1,000 pounds of fish and you're lucky to get 50 pounds out of the country. What do they do with the rest of it?
The rest is some of the local people, some of the people that work with us on the boats, and the lodge keeps it to feed us.
So you're basically a for hire fisherman
for
the locals.
Yes. Chef of the future. Chef, who's cooking? You and me. You want to go? You go.
I don't care. It's all about you. These.
Oh, it's all about what, no. No,
yeah, you cook too much.
You have plenty of recipes. You have a whole vinegar book that you're coming out with. You have
that vinegar book. Yeah, the damn vinegar book. This year.
And we've talked about your recipes throughout and things that you're cooking and doing, your Thanksgivings. And we not only, forget about cooking.
Most of my information nowadays has been how to avoid cooking.
Yes. Like go to Costco and buy the biggest chicken that has its breast touching the top.
Oh, yeah, and how to buy the Costco chicken. Yeah,
things like that. There's like little good pieces, good nuggets of information that you provide. So, all right, finally, in 2023, we talked about, you know, you couldn't get away from it. If you're going to talk about anything, you had to talk about tech. And that is one of your specialities.
Yeah.
How many shows did you do back in the day?
Tech shows?
Not number shows, but different shows.
Oh, I don't know, 5 or 6.
You're the crazy.
It was mostly my column writing for 30 years.
30 years? On PC Magazine, on the back at the last, and then one day, just thank you, Johns, bye.
Yeah, basically, well, they were bought and sold a few times, and they didn't want columnists anymore. So luckily, I was.
What are they doing now for that? What is it?
I don't know.
Freelance hiring something?
No, they have a little operation going with the staff. It's cheaper to have. I don't know how they make it cheaper, but it's cheaper not to use freelance.
Mm. Well, we talked about things, Apple, because you have to talk about Apple and Microsoft. And we talk about, you know, the various companies and, you know, from things like, you know, Intel and what they were doing to the PC market to what was going on in the latest and greatest technology. I mean, let me ask you one question before we get to these clips. Do you think there's been a lot of innovation, aside from AI for a second here, but in the last 5 years, has there been a lot of innovation, or is it more so a regurgitation of an expanding of what there already is?
I think the latter.
Yeah. Seems like
this. I mean, the innovation is like, you know, the innovation nowadays has been different ports, like the USB-C and variations on the HDMI port. You know, they keep changing it to kind of protect copyright. And there's various, it's not like there's anything that's been a breakthrough ever since once the solid state hard drive was invented. They really haven't come up with anything interesting.
I mean, we go from a 5 1/4 inch phone to a 5 1/2 inch.
What's one thing that's not changed, but has always been surprising, is the lowering and lowering and lowering of prices, especially of the hard disk. My wife went to Costco and bought a 14-gigabyte hard disk for $149.
Wow. That's a solid state.
No.
You can't buy a solid state?
That's price. You can't get that kind of capacity.
I bought a 32
kind of
gigabyte price. Stick for, I think it was like $12.
Yeah, you can get up to a point, but you're not going to get I meant terabyte.
Oh.
You can't get a terabyte, 14 terabytes for $150 in solid state. Not happening. Not even close.
That's a lot of egg recipes you're going to put on there.
Now, the reason for this, of course, if you listen to the No Agenda show, as you mentioned, the reason for these giant hard disks is so that you never erase anything on there. So all the evidence that you pile up against yourself in a court of law is there for easy retrieval.
Well, let's get on to the discussion of tech. Here we go. Interchangeable, those words. But Shopify is telling employees, cut your meetings. The firm is canceling.
Them.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell are any meetings for? Why are you meeting with people? So maybe they're refocusing on sales.
Let's come back another time. I got a meeting with the Bobs in a couple of minutes.
Intel was like the company, right? Wasn't Intel like, oh, it's Intel. And now it's like, ugh, it's Intel.
Yeah, people feared Intel.
You never buy a Windows-based machine without an Intel chip in it. You wouldn't want AMD in there. Remember those days?
Yeah, something happened. They dropped the ball.
Yeah, they dropped the ball hard. So they're coming down. AMD came out.
You know, why didn't they buy ARM? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? They were, you know, in their moments of being the a-holes that they became with their, you know, the way they treated people, other companies, by people, not their employees, but by the people that try to do deals with them. They brought this on themselves.
Well, you gotta say it's bad management.
Wait. All Microsoft store locations are closed.
Oh, there you go. Retracting that point. That's it.
Well, I guess that's the end of that.
Did you have a go?
You can still access training and products at Microsoft.com. So they closed all their stores.
All closed.
Grand opening, grand closing.
There's been a lot of talk from companies like Apple, for example. Remember they talk about how they were seeing a major slowdown in Mac sales? And Windows division, which is really was supposed to be seeing some slowdown, some dramatic slowdown, beat analyst expectations by like $1 billion. A billion. That's not like a small rounding error.
I think people are buying computers, but it's not... it's not registering. They're buying like B links. And I say that because my wife today is talking to me about getting what she needs one. And she's like, oh, yeah, these little machines any good? Even though everything I've got around me is all little machines now. In fact, this, what I'm on right now is an Intel NUC.
NUC.
And, you know, it's small and quiet. It's exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And these machines all come with Windows 10 and 11. The machine cost is going to cost like $180 for the machine loaded.
Wow.
And it's got Windows 11 on it, which I think if it retails for $150. Hmm. So there's a lot of screwiness in the market, in the PC market.
All right, let's talk about Apple. You watched the WWDC Worldwide Developers Conference that was Monday, pre-big announcement. All the things they were talking about.
This big announcement everyone keeps thinking is this VR headset, which I've decided, I've got it coming out in the No Agenda newsletter tomorrow, that I've decided this was put together for military purposes. It's never going to be a consumer product. No one said that except me. You've heard it first on the show. And it's got everything. It's overbuilt. It's $3,500 is too expensive for a consumer item. It probably costs $3,500 to make. The thing is so elaborate. It's got all kinds of crazy features and it's pretty remarkable. And maybe they can come up with some reason people would want to buy one. But for simulations, military simulations, the intelligence agencies and people like that could just make hay with this thing, and they militarize it so they can charge $5,000 for each one, government. And so they ruggedize it and ship it at $5,000 a pop by tens of thousands to the government. And that's where this thing, I think, that's where it looks like it's designed to end up.
Why would they put this out to the public if that was the case? Why don't they just wrap it up, hold it back? And like some.
No, they're not going to. Because it's a company that sells to the public. They're not going to start doing, look like a military procurement company. That's just the way it's going to be.
Now we have an interesting story. And all of a sudden, and like, what's happening? Why is this happening? Two different items that hit the news that you've seen, John. First is news that AT&T and Verizon may have lead cable problems. Have you seen this?
No, I have not seen this.
It seems that there's powdered scratch that. We'll come back to that in a second. Raymond James analyst wrote in a note that they estimate AT&T could spend upwards of $264 million and between that and $1.2 billion to remove lead covered cables. If the company is required to remove the lead-clad cables, it would cost AT&T roughly $84 million a year for the next 15 to 25 years overall. So they have these buried cable that some of them have been abandoned over the last however many years. It's like it could be 20, 25 years old, this lead-covered cables.
Where did they get these cables from in the first place?
They buried them years ago for the phone lines. These are all things that they had in the ground, I guess.
Yeah, I understand what the situation is. It's just like, who provided that? They don't make cables. Who provided the cables that are contaminated with lead?
I don't know, but whoever it is probably is liable also. But they're the ones that...
If they're still in business, these cables are so old, it's quite possible that a company like that could be long gone.
Yep. So it seems that maybe their responsibility, because they were the ones that put it down. You know, it'd be like saying, there's some kind of carcinogen in the streets that were laid down by this private company, and is it the person that who's responsible if they're the ones that contracted it? They could AT&T may have to go back after the other company.
This is serious, people. No more dumping in the lake. I hereby declare a state of emergency.
All right, Apple. Apple has admitted that an overheating issue is plaguing the iPhone 15, but has, of course, nothing to do with the handsets themselves. So let me just repeat this.
Yes, this is a funny story. Yes, sure. The
handsets are overheating, but it's not because of the handset. You follow what I'm saying here? And I'm sure most of the people out there are like, oh, well, that makes sense. The tech companies insisted pinning on blame on popular apps like Instagram, Uber, and the game Asphalt 9. Whatever the hell that is, okay? Several videos on the social media channel showed customers temperature checking their iPhone 15 Pros, hitting highs of between 39 and 42 degrees Celsius. Also, the other thing is I saw an unboxing of the iPhone 15, and Gentoo does this all the time. And he does this weird thing where he takes the phone, holds it, we'll say sideways, presses on the glass, pulls back on the back to see if it's flexible. What happens? He cracked the titanium.
What?
Yeah.
He cracked the metal, not the glass?
Either that or was the coating over the titanium, maybe?
Well, that's weird.
It was the back. It was definitely the back.
And by the way, this idea that it's not the iPhone 15, it's the apps.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, the iPhone 15 won't overheat if you don't use it for anything.
Correct, if you turn it off.
And remember, the motto here at Apple is, it's never our fault.
Big announcement from Microsoft Teams. It now has immersive workspaces. Do you ever use Teams?
No.
I use it. It's nice. Especially the mobile app I like.
You use it?
Yeah.
And you like it?
Yeah, because it has a lot of compliance characteristics to it. It has saving features. It saves things. You can utilize a calendaring, scheduling Teams meetings, using it for staff and channels. It's like a Slack, but I don't use it like that. I use it for a lot of chat, some phone calls, meetings, and automation. So it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And again, it's compliant. It has a compliant feature that it keeps everything, so which is important for my business. So that means instead of this immersive workspaces. And by the way, just if you're wondering, like, what do I think of it? I actually did all this today just to check it out. So instead of your typical blurred background, or even a slightly more exciting virtual backdrop of, like, you know, you, and then as you're moving forward and backward, your head starts disappearing into the walls.
Yeah, here it comes and goes.
Right? Microsoft Teams can now take place in any kind of 3D location or setting that you choose, so long as Microsoft has built it. So it's a, you know, they build these things and you pick what you want. So you could do this like Office that's 3D, which I don't know the difference.
Yeah, I like the big living room with the piano, the grand piano. Have you seen that background?
Yeah, I don't understand. What's the difference between that background, which is a flat background, which is a 3D picture, right? And a 3D setting. I mean, it's not like I'm getting up, walking around, and it's following me around or anything like that because the camera's not moving. But the big news, you can have an avatar.
Mm.
So I created an avatar for myself today. And, you know, you pick everything from the lips to your wrinkles to your size to your hair color to all this stuff, right? And then when you're standing in front of the camera on a virtual backdrop, you have little things you can click like wave hand or high five or thumbs up or, you know, happy dance. And the avatar will do all that. And as you're talking, the lips will move. Now, here's my question. If I have a camera and a microphone and I'm in, I don't know, a basic setting somewhere, why the hell do I need all this?
Because you look like shit on the camera, maybe. Oh.
Are you wearing a grocery bag?
I have misplaced my pants.
This Microsoft is, I think they're vulnerable to having issues with all this dependency on the cloud, on the cloud business. Their money, half of their money is now renting out space on the cloud.
Correct. That's correct. You're not talking about if something goes wrong. You're saying if somehow there's a new development in how to store stuff.
Yeah, which can happen with someone else. I mean, Google's in that business. IBM's in that business.
Amazon.
Amazon's the big boy in the business. You also have the guys down in the Larry Ellison's operations Oracle, in that business.
Oracle. But you have other secondary tier players also that are just all about space.
Yeah.
Rack space, this space, that space, you know, which is off-site, off-premise.
Yeah, it's similar, but not the same.
Right.
This just seems like a lot of dependency. When Microsoft had, you know, their dependency was on things that were so, this is not a monopoly. That's what I'm trying to get at. Microsoft's business has always relied on kind of a monopolistic practice with very few products that were you couldn't do without. Windows, for example, and Office are basically monopolies, small monopolies. They're money makers. You can't go wrong. But they're focusing on this on making money from this other stuff. It just seems like a weak spot to me.
Well, everything relies on
there's no way they're monopolizing the cloud.
Everything relies on that. And the question is, how fungible is the how fungible is the corporate need for cloud and the fungibility of whether we go from, does it matter if we go for Microsoft to Google's to AWS? You follow what I'm saying? Is it all just like, hey, just move it on over?
Then it becomes who's the cheapest.
Yeah, then that, exactly.
What happens when China comes into the picture with their cloud services and their orientation toward life is we're the cheapest.
Yep. That's what this whole, it's a big, big round robin. Because they want,
the whole thing is ridiculous.
The whole thing is, it's one giant circle jerk in terms of where the money comes from. The Apple update, we talked about this. They're coming out with the new M3 Pro, and M3 Max. Now, I'm waiting for the M3 Plus, by the way. That will be the biggest one. Because that's all people can think about is Pro, Max, and Plus.
So what's the performance increase with the M3? It's supposed to keep these other competitors from coming into the market.
So
which includes, I think, NVIDIA.
Let's see. 80 up to 80 something faster than M1. They're 80 something. 80 times faster? Which,
compared to the M2, what percentage better is it?
Over the M2? Oh, you want over M2? Over.
Yeah, that would be the comparison.
Let's see what this says. 10%.
What?
Yeah, that's what it says. The 16.
What's the point?
The 16-inch M3 Pro and M2 Pro chips offer 12 CPU cores, but the M2 is actually offers one extra GPU core over the M3 Pro. Huh. So the M2 Pro gets one more GPU core over the M3 Pro. Still, Apple claims it's 10% faster than the M2 Pro's GPU. Oh, that's why. And 40% faster than the M1's GPU. The new M3 also supports the GPU improvements. What's a GPU?
You're only talking about the GPU. What about the rest of the chip?
25 billion transistors.
Wow. Isn't that ridiculous?
25 billion transistors, which is...
When I was a kid...
You had one transistor.
We used to buy a transistor radio and it had three transistors that worked.
How much faster? Okay, here.
Now you need, a billion transistors to get a radio signal? Yeah. I'm not, understanding quite the reason for all these transistors, but okay.
I don't know what this is. I'd have to look this up. This is pretty deep to get into this crap.
Yeah, I'll look at it some other time.
I'd like to know what it is. Can you let me know when you find out, please? Okay.
It's out of control.
M3 Max chip offers more than other processors. The M3 features a 16-core CPU and up to 40-core GPU. GPU performance is 80 times faster than the M1. Apple doesn't provide a direct comparison. Oh, Apple does not provide a direct comparison between the M2 and M3.
Ah, there you have it. There's your answer.
They say it's... Oh, no, it's back to M1 again. No. I don't know. There are just some main differences. If you want to do it deeper.
They're dancing is what it is. Yeah, they're dancing.
So I think the difference is that they put the number 3 on it. That looks like what happened here. But they also raised the prices. The 14-inch MacBook Pro with the M3 is going to be $1,599.
Oh, the MacBook Pro. Is that the one with the touch screen?
No, I think that's the 16-inch. Oh, no. Not any of that one either. No. The 14 and 16-inch Max Pro with the M3 Max.
Oh, $1,599 and no touch screen.
But it does deliver.
Well, our tech coverage is as good as anybody's.
Yeah. So it pushes them.
And you can make money.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, because our ideas lead to
money.
Yeah. Ideas lead to money. But, I mean, I don't know. I hope that we can get away from just this total fascination with AI, because it does seem to me that if we continue down the road of just AI, it's going to squash off further innovation, unless
AI... Oh, they're going to claim the AI can do innovation, which is not going to happen.
I mean, it's just a change. Well, we could get into this whole discussion, which I don't want to, but it just seems like it will stifle the innovation revolution, but and one of the reasons make people lazier. That's what I'm talking about, right? So you don't get
that. Yeah. Go see the movie Wall-E, and you'll get a clue of the future.
Really? Scary?
You ever seen the movie Wall-E?
I don't think so.
I guess not.
No. That's...
Yeah, it's animated. It's an animated movie called Wall-E.
Mm.
And it's about a little robot, and it's very cute, but it has your theme right in it.
Oh, all right. Well, that's going to wrap it up, and let's thank everybody for joining us, as always, and we'll be back next week with a real live show with real live characters.
Sounds good to me.
All right,
good
night. See ya. Thanks.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.